Turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, most people think of Psalm 23 as a funeral psalm, because it's used so much at funerals. The problem is sometimes our association with things may spoil something to be usable at some other time. In other words, if people only think of Psalm 23 as a message to preach when someone has died, will they ever actually use Psalm 23 as one of their tools? When I was a boy, it seemed like usually when we had the stomach flu at our house, the medicine to get over that was Werner's ginger ale. And so when things would settle down, we would start sipping Werner's ginger ale. And it seemed to work well. My problem was association. I don't think I've ever gone to a store and bought Werner's ginger ale soda pop just to drink, because there's too strong of an association with it about the stomach flu. So it just spoiled, you know. They didn't make money off me anyway through these years. But I'm afraid many people do the same thing with Psalm 23. They're thinking, oh, that message is, or that chapter is only to use when someone dies. So it's really of no use. Well, actually, this chapter is of great use to us. So number one, if you're taking notes this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. Verse one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A shepherd is one that cares for the sheep. But not all people on the earth are God's sheep. That's the problem. The Bible tells us, in fact, the majority of people on this earth are actually in the category of goats. Let's look at Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to see here, this is called the judgment of the nations. This takes place when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period. So we're not talking about the rapture here. That's already happened by the time this chapter comes. The rapture happens, then the tribulation period, and then at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus comes back to set up his earthly kingdom. In Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the what? Throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. This is why it's called the judgment of the nations, because before him shall be gathered all nations. So you can tell this isn't the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we meet the Lord in the clouds in the air, and then we're with him forever. This here, he's on the earth, he's setting up, he's calling all the nations before him. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. Remember that, sheep on the right hand. But the goats on what? The left. So sheep on the right, goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his what hand?
Right hand.
So these are what? The sheep. Okay. So he says to the sheep on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was what? And hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was what? Thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and what? You took me in. Naked, and what? You clothed me. I was sick, and what? You visited me. I was in prison, and what? You came unto me. Then shall who? The righteous. So, the righteous are answering. So, who's on the right hand? The sheep. The sheep are the righteous ones. And of course, we'll see this righteousness is of Jesus Christ, not of ourselves. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Notice the humility of the righteous. There's not the pride. There's not the boasting. They're saying, when did we do all this, Lord? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of who? The least of these my brethren, ye have done it what? Unto me. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Who's on the left hand? The goats. He says to them, depart from me, what? Ye cursed. You notice back in verse 34, he said to those on the right hand, which are the sheep, he said, come ye blessed of my Father. But now in verse 41, to these on the left hand, the goats, he says to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye what? Gave me no meat. I was thirsty. And ye what? Gave me no drink. I was a stranger. And what? Ye took me not in. Naked. And what? Ye clothed me not. Sick. And what? In prison. And what? Ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Notice they call him Lord. But Lord means master. He was not their master, but they call him Lord. Verse 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of who? The least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into what? Everlasting punishment, but the righteous into what? Life eternal. They're saying, when didn't we do all these things? They call him Lord. Look in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. Those goats call him Lord. Those unrighteous people call him Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter where? Into the kingdom of heaven. But he that, what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22 says, what? Many will say to me in that day, what? Lord, Lord. See, they have no problem calling him Lord, but is he their Lord? No. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You see, these people make it quickly known. Hey, I've done all this for you, Lord. Verse 23, and then why profess unto them what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why didn't he know them? Because they were trusting their own righteousness. Their trust was not in him, but in themselves. We don't get saved by what we do for God. We get saved by what God did for us. Jesus died on the cross for us. That's how we get saved. Trusting him is our Savior. So, how do you get to be one of Jesus' sheep? Placing our faith in him. Notice in John 10:27. Not everyone is God's sheep. There are a lot of goats. John 10:27. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, my sheep, what?
Hear my voice,
and I know them, and they what? Follow me. And I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Verse 27 said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We were out in the park yesterday ministering, and one of the people that came along walking, I went up to talk to him, and he would not take a gospel track. And he says, I think what you're doing is cruel. Well, he fits into verse 27, or the opposite of that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why would we be cruel for trying to give the gospel to people, keeping them out of hellfire? That's not being cruel. That's being kind, very kind. But you see, they don't hear his voice. They don't know him. They don't know him as Savior. Notice in John chapter 8 and verse 42. John 8:42. Jesus here is speaking to Jewish people. And he says in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would what? Love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what? My speech. Even because ye cannot what? Hear my word. Ye are of your father who? The devil. See, not everyone is God's sheep. Only those who have trusted Christ. These were the devil's goats. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And he goes on, and because I tell you what? The truth, ye what? Believe me not. You see, they don't hear his word. They don't respond to his word. When we were out witnessing, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we came up to a house, and they had the backyard all fenced in. And there was at least two goats. Maybe there's more. I don't know. But I just noticed the two goats, like adult-sized goats. And these two goats were just trying to aggravate one another. I mean, just aggravate one another. And then they started wanting to butt heads. Isn't that just like goats? I mean, isn't that just like the unrighteous, the world? Just want to bump heads, you know, and it's just so cantankerous. You know, there's a guy who has sheep across the road from our house. He doesn't always have them there, but he rotates them. And, you know, I have never, going in and out of the driveway, ever seen two of his sheep butting heads. Never. But those goats wanted to do that. It's no wonder that the Bible tells us, as God's sheep, to love one another. Notice in John 13:35. John 13:35. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are what? My disciples, if ye have what? Love one to another. You know, if we're out there just butting heads, you know, being cantankerous, trying to aggravate people, nobody's going to know we're a Christian. They're just going to think we're one of the goats, is what they're going to think. We're told to be different. Notice in Galatians 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in what?
Well-doing.
For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto who? Them who are of the household of faith. So, we are to love the brethren, love other Christians. Notice in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. So, if we're sheep and not goats, we ought to have a different disposition, okay, than goats. Now, some people have a lot of funny sayings at the door, and we see a lot of them. And, you know, sometime it'll be like the old crow lives here, or the old goat, you know, lives here. But that shouldn't be said of us. 1 John 4:20. If a man say what? I love God, and hateth his brother, he is what?
A liar.
A liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's go back to Psalm 23. Is the Lord our shepherd? Remember, we've seen the goats readily call him Lord, but he's not their Lord. He's not their master. Satan is their master. The devil is their master. So is he really our shepherd? Have we come to the point where we realize we are not righteous? We are hopelessly lost sinners. But Jesus is the righteous one. Have we trusted in him? Have we asked him by faith to impute us with his righteousness? Because he will do it. He will save us if we ask. So number one, the Lord is my shepherd. Number two, the Lord is my life. The verse 1, Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I what?
Shall not want.
Wow, there's a lot in that, isn't there? I shall not want. Is Jesus our life? Is he our life? Notice me in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who what?
Is our life,
shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That when Christ, who is our life, God used Paul to write this. It's one of the prison epistles. He's in prison. But he's saying that Christ is my life. When Christ, who is our life. Is that true of us? Is that true of us? Is Christ our life? Could we go a day without talking to him? Could we go a day without spending time in his word? I mean, is he our life? Is he really? Notice in Matthew 6. It's real easy to say, isn't it? Christ is my life. I don't know what I would do without the Lord. I don't know how many times people have said that to me. I've asked them, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Oh, yes. I don't know what I would do without him. And then you get into conversation. It's like, what do you do about him? What do you do with him? But it's so easy to say, isn't it? Oh, yes. I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. Easy to say. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye what?
First
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we put God first, he meets the needs. You know, Psalm 23:1, as we go back there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, Psalm 23:1 is really the confession. And here's once again what I'm saying. Sometimes, you know, you relegate this to just a funeral psalm, you know, and every time you read it, oh, this is the one they use at funerals. And so every time you read Psalm 23, you kind of have this morbid feeling, like, you know, the funeral home and caskets and things like that. And you're just thinking about that the whole time through, and it's just a total wrong association. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is this really would be a confession, then, listen, my life does not revolve around covetousness. People, and we can fall into that same category if we're not careful, but when we get focused on material things and we start being covetous, then we cease to focus on the Lord. Notice with me in Luke chapter 12, and verse 15. The point is this. People that are focused on material things will never be satisfied with material things. It's like people that get tattoos. Are they ever satisfied with one tattoo? No. If they don't have several yet, just wait. One, only, it's kind of like eating potato chips. You know, you eat one and you just got to have another one and another one and another one until you run out of flesh to fill. Luke 12:15. The Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of what?
Covetousness.
For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Life is not about just possessing toys. Because that's endless, isn't it? You can get a new gun, a new car, a new camera, a new computer, a new truck, a new lawnmower, a new four-wheeler, a new jet ski, a new speedboat, new golf clubs, new sewing machine, I don't know. You name it. It never satisfies, does it? There's always something more to buy. Always. And God tells us that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. None of those things will ever satisfy. Notice in Colossians 3, God says that when we get into that mode, that covetous mode, we've actually got another problem going on. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now, what does that mean, mortify? Sometimes people say, I was mortified when such and such happened. What does that mean? Well, a funeral director is called a mortician. See, when we're talking about Psalm 23, making you think of funerals, a mortician is someone who deals with the dead, who prepares bodies. So when it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, it means put them to death, reckon them dead. What should you reckon dead? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and what?
Covetous.
God wants us to reckon that dead, but it goes on to say covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Now, I trust that none of us have statues of Buddha or Baal or any other thing. We do go calling on a lot of homes that have Buddha cement things out in their yards. I don't even know if they realize what they are. Maybe they do, but nonetheless, they have them. But the Bible tells us that covetousness is idolatry. So if someone were to ask us today, do you have any idols in your house? You say, of course not. But if my heart is upon some of my material possessions to the point where it's coming between me and God, then that's an idol, covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice in Exodus chapter 20, you know, the Ten Commandments, the last of the Ten Commandments, number 10, dealt with the matter of covetousness. And it just didn't kind of throw a blanket approval, just a blanket general statement out, but Exodus 20, verse 17. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Well, in the New Testament, a man asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Well, it's anybody in need in that instance. So our neighbor is all the people surrounding us, whoever we come in contact with. We're not to covet what they have. Notice in Ecclesiastes 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now, just fix up your house really nice, or get a really nice vehicle, nice car, nice truck, nice crossover or something. And will everybody be excited for you? It doesn't work that way. Ecclesiastes 4:4. "Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is what? Envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." Now, if anyone knew what this would feel like, it was Solomon. God used him to write this book. "Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor." Think of Solomon building his own house for 13 years. Do you think everyone in Jerusalem and everyone around Israel just came and congratulated Solomon on his palace? No, it says here, he's testifying, "I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor." You build a nice house, you would think that people would congratulate you and say, "Wow, that's a nice house." But what do you get for it? Well, people envy you for it. You get a nice vehicle, will people congratulate you? "Boy, that is really a nice vehicle." Well, they may say that on the outside, but on the inside, they're envying you, saying, "I wish I had that car or that truck or whatever in between." It's just man's sinful nature, covetousness. And then they envy you. You know, you put all that time into your work, into your house or your yard or your car or whatever it is. Landscape it really nice. Put all that time into, you know, making beautiful clothes. Whatever it is, will people say, "Oh, I am so happy for you"? Well, there might be some people that say that. And there might be a very few that actually do. They're actually happy for you, but a lot of them are going to think, "I wish I had that." That old thing of envy and covetousness. Solomon, for all the wonderful things he had, people weren't happy for him. They were envious of him. And it brought him vanity and vexation of spirit. It's like, the more, and he said, I considered all travail. You know what? He put a lot of time and labor into these things. 13 years building his own house. How would you like to spend 13 years building a house? Well, that would be good job security for the carpenter, I guess. 13 years of straight wages. Despite all the labor and travail, Solomon said, "You know what? It's vexation of spirit because people are envious of me." So, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he our shepherd today? Number two, the Lord is my life. Is he our life? Really, is he? Number three, the Lord is my leader. Psalm 23, again, Psalm 23. The Lord is my leader. Verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He what? Leadeth me beside the still waters." We almost missed that. Almost missed it. He leadeth me. Is the Lord really leading us? Remember we saw in John 10, 27, well, we can turn back there, John 10, 27. Is he really leading us? Well, he wants to, but is he? Well, that depends on if we're following. Yes, he wants to lead us. In John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me. Are we following him? How do we follow God when we can't see his footprints? Where is he? Well, notice in John chapter 14, John 14, verse 15. How do we follow God? He wants to lead us, but how do we know where he went? How do we track him? John 14, 15. If ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's how we follow him. We keep his commandments. That's how we follow him. You know, there are a lot of people that claim to be religious in this life, and at the same time, you bring up principles in the Old Testament, and they'll say, well, that's Old Testament. And then you bring up principles in the New Testament, and they'll say, oh, that was just in the days of Paul. Well, that doesn't apply to us today. Okay, let me get this right. The Old Testament's too old. That doesn't apply to us. And even the New Testament's too old. Well, that was just cultural things back then. Okay, so you really don't follow the Old Testament, and you don't follow the New Testament. And yet a lot of people would say, I go to a New Testament church. Actually, what they're going to is a No Testament church. Because the Bible isn't followed. I mean, what did he say? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. How are we following him if we're not following his commandments? Well, we're not if we're not following his commandments. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, it's so easy, as we said a moment ago, as people say, oh, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. And then sometimes people say, I just can't wait till the Lord comes and I can go to heaven. Okay, well, in Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art where? In heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth, as it is where? In heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize when people, you know, when we try to lovingly show them the Word of God and this principle or that principle, and they say, they excuse it away for whatever reason, like, well, that doesn't apply to me, or in my situation, you know, for everybody else, I can see it, but not me. You know, there's so many excuses that we write ourselves, but if people are trying to excuse away this, and at the same time they're saying, I just can't wait till I get to heaven, isn't there a problem? Because what did the Lord tell us to pray? He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize in heaven, the Bible says thy word is settled in heaven. So in heaven, this book is followed. But if on earth, we're trying to excuse ourselves out of following this book, but we're saying we can't wait till we get to heaven, but in heaven, this book is followed. There's a problem, isn't there? I can't wait to get to heaven, but I'm not crazy about following this book. Something's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, something's wrong. Well, that's the day in which we live. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And then what? Preach the word. Be instant. In season, then what? Out of season. Well, We're in the out of season time right now. But it says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will what? Not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So you teach sound doctrine, and you know what they're going to say? Bye. And they'll find lots of other teachers that have ear-itching doctrines. Yeah. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, there's all kinds of them. There's heaps of them. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So we're living in that kind of a day. But these are some things for us as well. For us that do know Christ as our Savior, He is our shepherd. But are we really following? And thinking about that, okay, in heaven, this book is followed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Jesus is going to use this book to judge the world, John 12:48, the words that he has spoken. So are we following it? So I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts today and help us. It's so easy to say, Lord. It's much more difficult to actually practice that. Lord means master. If he's really my master, then I need to keep his commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Lord, it's so easy to deceive ourselves. You tell us that if we are a hearer of the word and not a doer, we will deceive our own selves. So, Lord, may the Holy Spirit please help us to apply Psalm 23 to our own hearts. I pray, Lord, if there's any area of deception in our own hearts where we are actually not following your word, please show us those things, Lord. We realize in heaven your word is followed. Everything in it is followed. Help us, Lord, not to live hypocritical lives. Lord, help people to be able to see that we really are sheep and not goats. Help us not to act like the world, or they'll never know. You tell us, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Pray that would be true of us. In Jesus' name, amen.